I am too. Which is always good, right? We're going to open our Bibles to two places today, if you want to go ahead and turn there. We're actually going to be going back and forth to those places. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and Acts chapter 16. And either put your ribbon or a piece of paper or your finger or something like that in between. Go back and forth. This is week 3 of our series, Oikos. Again, very briefly, oikos is a Greek word, and this Greek word means, or is most often translated as household or house in the New Testament. And really what it means is something broader than what we think of as our household. Just to give you an example, my household, we have 2 kids. We actually have 3, but one of ours is already out of the house. So our household is a mother, a father, and 2 kids. But the word oikos means much more than that. It's also the extended family. It's those that we work with, those that we go to church with, those that we have a some sort of a constant relationship with. Not that we know every deep, dark secret of every single person in our oikos, but it's people that we most often come across is our oikos. And so, again, next week, very important for you to be here. We're going to talk about your influence. If we kind of narrowed down oikos and just had one sentence, I would say oikos is your circle of influence. So next week, we're going to talk about what your influence is. And specifically, we're going to look at evangelism styles. There's 5 different evangelism styles, and we're going to take a quick assessment, few questions to answer, and then it maybe gives you a better idea of what your style is, and we'll talk about different descriptions in Scripture of those styles. And then the next week, the 5th week, the final week of Oikos, we're going to talk about the influence of the message itself. I mentioned this last week, that we need to know that the message will come across positive to some and negative to others, and we need to know that going in. The children of Israel knew that. Going forward, the disciples of Christ knew that. The apostles knew that going into it, that some would hear and some wouldn't. And so we need to come to terms with that, and I believe that takes kind of a burden off of our shoulders, that we realize it's really up to the Lord. So that's the next 2 weeks. This week, though, I wanted to talk about 2 different instances of someone or someone's being freed from something and then how God used that. It's a real simple message. It'll be short, too, or at least that's what it was planned to do. We'll see how that goes, right? And I don't want to go too much in depth because the simplicity of this message is truly the gospel. We've been talking a lot about inward and outward, and truth be told, that's truly the gospel. So every single service, every single message, every single Sunday school, every single life group teaching you've ever encountered really has those 2 things going for it. It's both inward and outward. Now, there's times that maybe we focus more on the outward or we focus more on the inward, but truth be told, it's really the same thing. We're taking different bites or different looks, different specifications of really the same message. As we talk, as we read these 2 accounts, and as we talk about freedom, I want you to think about the freedom that you need. Now, one of them that we're going to be looking at is somebody that was demonized, and they experienced freedom from demons. Demons were cast out of this individual. Maybe that's not you. But every single one of us has a level of freedom that is still ours in Christ Jesus that we have not claimed. Or maybe better put, we have not yet walked in. Do you believe that? Because here's the reality, folks. Those of us, I believe all of us are saved. We are redeemed. Jesus bought us back and brought us into reconciliation with the Father. But yet, we still walk in this body. We still walk in the flesh. We still walk in the materialistic world. And those things combat against us. Do you feel that war? Yeah? I hope so. Paul felt that war. I feel that war. If you guys don't, then I'll just be talking to myself and you guys get an earshot of it. Sound good? All right. So let's look at the two freed people. First one's in Mark. I'm going to read the first portion of these, and then we're going to talk about freedom, and then we're going to go into what Jesus actually does with our freedom. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart, broke the irons off his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Verse 8, for Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. Verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now keep your finger there and go to Acts chapter 16. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Here's two different accounts of freedom. One was somebody free from demon possession. The other, here's two individuals who were ministering for the Lord and were imprisoned for their ministry, for their actions. And God miraculously, completely miraculously, freed them. If we were to define a Christian's freedom, somebody who walks in Christ, what is it? What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it do for an individual to be free? We could define it as a Christian's release and separation from sin, death, ultimately hell, Satan, and the curse of the law by the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the essence of what freedom in Christ is and what it means. All of those things encompasses everything that we just read, everything that was happening to the demoniac, the person that had a legion of demons. And it also includes Paul and Silas, who were imprisoned for their faith, imprisoned for what they were doing for Christ Jesus. All of that the Lord has freedom for. Yet, we know many who are imprisoned for the rest of their lives for their faith. We know many, scripture and extra-biblically, that lose their lives for their faith. They're beheaded or shot or whatever the case may be. Yet, that freedom is still available to each and every one of us. I don't know about you and me. I don't know about me. I don't know about me at all. I know that I need freedom, and I know that you need freedom too. And it could be freedom completely. I mean, you feel like the demoniac. Maybe even you come on Sunday mornings feeling like you're just putting on a facade, a show, a mask on, and there's actual demons that are tormenting you. All the way down to just, I want to get out of the mundane. But there's freedom that's available to us. And Christ has freed us from the things that previously have bound us. He has not freed us in those things. In other words, he has not freed us so that we would have freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin. It's freedom from torture. Freedom from living in sin that Christ has given us. Let's look at other aspects of freedom. Anything that controls us. We may choose to not look at it as a demon, and it very well may not be a demon. But is there anything that controls us? The first thing that may come to mind for some of us would be a substance of some sort that maybe we're addicted to. We automatically think of drugs and alcohol, but maybe we're addicted to food, or maybe we're addicted to fear, which I'm going to be getting to. We're addicted to thought, our thought life of what do other people think of me. There can be an addiction there. There can be something that is actually controlling us, controlling what we say, what we do, how we dress, what we think, all of those kinds of things. We can be addicted to pornography. We can be addicted to multiple things. Yeah, anger. There's all kinds of things that are within us that actually can control us. And the Lord would have us to be free. And today we're going to talk about the two aspects of the freedom. Why is he so concerned with your freedom? Grace, which is true, and also kind of the American aspect of our understanding of grace says he wants me to live a better version of my life. And it's true, but if we stop there, then we are self-centered. We're just looking at ourselves. We're just looking at what makes me comfortable, what makes me feel good, or maybe even what makes me effective. Depression and discouragement, do you realize that there's freedom in that? He doesn't want us to wallow in it. He doesn't want us to be down. There's freedom that's available in Christ Jesus for these things. Fear, as Kathy mentioned. Fear. We all have fears, whether that's fear of punishment or fear of failure or fear of rejection or fear of death or fear of getting in front of somebody and speaking to them. Fear. Fear of storms. Fear of snakes. Whatever the fear is, there's freedom. The Lord does not want us to live in those fears any longer. Apathy. Here's a big one. We don't often think of it. We think of, you know, being addicted to a drug or something, but apathy, being lethargic, just not caring, having no emotion towards something, not having a drive. We couldn't care less enough to live for Christ. That's apathy. And maybe apathy is eating the church alive more than anything else. We point to different things, and rightly so. There's different things in our lives that the Lord wants us to be free from, but perhaps apathy is hiding behind the curtain, hiding behind the sheets. It's a part of all of our lives, apathy, just not caring, being so consumed with what we want to do, which brings me to selfishness and being self-centered. Most of us wouldn't say we were that. If I was to say, raise your hands if you're selfish and self-centered, that's one of those stigmas you don't want to be associated with. You're not going to raise your hand. But the reality is every single one of you, not me, you, are selfish and self-centered. No, I'm raising my hand too because I am as well. Again, that's what causes me to have apathy and to be lethargic. To not experience the freedom that Christ has for me is because I'm too consumed with me, too consumed with how I feel, how I think, what others will think of me because how it affects me. Me, 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 I. There's freedom in that. There is freedom. Are you still in those two places? Let's read the rest of the stories. Mark chapter 5. We'll pick back up with verse 16. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. The people from all around that area knew to stay away from those rocks, to stay away from that area, that there was this madman, this crazy man, this demon-possessed man that was there. People knew about it so much so that when he was delivered, when he was in his right mind and fully clothed and he had sane thoughts, people were coming to find out what had happened. Verse 17, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. This is just too much. It's too intense. You're scary. You're scaring me. Please leave. Verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed began to go with him, begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. When he says go home to your family, in the Greek is oikon, which comes from oikos. It's go to your oikos. Go to the people that know you. Go to the people that could understand that there's a miracle, that there's freedom in your life. Go to them and tell them all of the great things that the Lord has done for you. It's interesting, again in Greek, the word home is oikon. To your family isn't even in the Greek. It doesn't mean because it was added that somehow scripture was added to. It's there's no way of putting just home without completely revealing the true meaning of that Greek word oikon, and that's what we've been talking about. Go to your family. Go to your oikos. Go to the people who would be impacted by your freedom. Think about that for a minute. We tend to come up to an altar call or something for freedom. We want to be free because we do not want to deal with it any longer. And that's part of it. We must come to that decision. We must come to the decision to not just receive freedom, but to walk in that freedom, to walk out that freedom. But usually it ends there. Or we'll say, Jesus, I want to just go with you wherever you go. And most of us would think, well, isn't that a good thing? Sure, but let me liken it unto this. Somebody comes to the altar, gets free, has a radical encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps, and they feel the chains falling off of them. It's as if this person says, I want to stay here for the rest of my life. I want to just always feel this freedom. I want to feel this elation. I want to feel this emotion always. I want to go with you. I don't want to face reality. I don't want to face my calling. I don't want to face everything that you have for me. I just want to stay with you. In essence, that's really what the man who was freed from demons was saying. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go to your oikos and share with them everything that the Lord Jesus has done for you. And that's how we impact our family. What was Christ's purpose in setting him free? Number one was for himself. Absolutely. He cares about the individual. He cares about you and me. He wants you and me to be free. But we're mistaken if he wants us to be free so that we can enjoy our lives better, so that we can get focused in on the Netflix movie we're watching later on today without thinking of the problems that we have. We'd be mistaken if we think that Christ just wants to set us free so that we have a more hunky-dory marriage or a more consistent and stress-free family life. All of those things are great. All of those things are important. But I believe that the reason he set the demoniac free was not just for him, but it was for his oikos. So much so that the demoniac saying, let me just stay in this. Let me go with you. He said, no, instead, I want you to impact the people around you. I want you to impact the circle of influence that you have. See, the reality is, we can say all we want. We can stand on a street corner and say, you must be saved or you're going to hell. We can We can go to our family and our friends and we can cry and tell them how much they need Jesus. But if they have not sensed Jesus in our lives, if they have not seen the freedom that we have encountered, why would they want it? We won't make an impact. The demoniac has experienced Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says, now go to the circle of influence. Tell them about it. Now in Acts. Acts chapter 16. Verse 27. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." This is really interesting if you think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. This violent earthquake, this absolute force of God, will of God, miracle of God has just happened. He was previously in stocks and enchained, he and Silas. And Paul instead says, we're here. I'll give you an example of, in a much, 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 much smaller way. This week, we have a spoon, a wooden spoon that we use to spank Leah with, my three-year-old. Don't look at me like that. We do that so that we don't spoil the child. We call it a spank stick. She knows exactly what the spank stick is. We even write on it, spank stick, so that when she can read, she'll understand it's the spank stick. We left it in her room, and one day we're in the other room, and she comes in with the spank stick, and she says, "Here, Mommy, you left this in my room." Isn't that sweet? Instead of throwing it away or hiding it, throwing it out the door, trying to break it in some form or fashion, she basically said, "Here, Mom and Dad, here's the instrument of destruction that you have chosen for me. Here, I'm giving it back to you." In a lot of ways, that's what Paul was doing too. It's okay. Don't fret. We're still here. Even though we were freed miraculously, we could have, maybe it could be argued, should have, ran for our lives, realized the good thing that Jesus has done for us, and just celebrated him and got going before the evil magistrates get them again. He says, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." Verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, there's really no way of knowing what if. We can play the what if game all day long. However, I feel like I've got pretty good authority to say he would not have inquired that if they beat it. If they just took their freedom and ran, if they took their own lives and said, "I don't care about the jailer." See, the reality was if the jailer wasn't going to kill himself, he would be killed because he let these prisoners go. Or it was on his watch that their freedom occurred. So rather than having this jailer lose his physical life, they put their physical life in his hands. Think about that. They're in essence saying, "We're still here. If you want to lock us up again, we're still here." And what does he say? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Because he witnessed the miraculous freedom that they had in their lives. Now, you and I may not have this violent earthquake that breaks not only the bars, but the chains that are chaining us. But make no mistake, our freedom is miraculous as well. Also, make no mistake that others who are in our lives, others who we rub shoulders with, who we rub elbows with, who we have influence in, sees this miraculous change in our lives. And the only way for them to ask, "Sirs," or "Ma'am, what must I do to be saved?" is that they first witness what salvation is through our own lives. Verse 31, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Yep, Greek word household is oikos. You and your oikos will be saved. You and your circle of influence, you and your extended family, you and your friends, you and your coworkers, you will be saved. Now, what Paul is saying here is not all you have to do is believe and your belief will cause everyone else to be saved, that they're saved through your belief. That's not what he means. What he means is you're going to believe because you have already asked for salvation, and now they're going to have an opportunity through your belief. I think every one of us would say in our heart of hearts, even if, quite honestly, we're apathetic and we don't want to lift even a little finger to help, we would love to see the entire earth know of the majesty and greatness of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us would. But do we realize that the method that he chose to use, there's Billy Graham crusades and there's things in between that. The day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 souls were entered into the kingdom of heaven in that moment. There's times for that, but for the most part, people are saved, people are transformed, people are brought to freedom through our oikos, through our circle of influence. He uses you and me, the imperfect vessels that we are, to bring forth his gospel message. Jesus said, you will be saved, you and your household, you and your oikos. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house, oikia, same derivative, oikos. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. His oikos was completely transformed because two individuals did not run with their freedom. They realized their freedom was at a cost, and their freedom was for more than just themselves. It was more than their own personal freedom. I want to ask us, do we realize that? Do we realize that the freedom that we walk in, the freedom that's still available to us, is more than just our own personal freedom? That though he loves us, though we must have a personal relationship with Jesus, he is inclusionary. He is somebody who cares about the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. It wasn't for God so loved those who would be called. It was for God so loved the world. Because those who are called inform and transform their oikos. Only those who are free can lead others to freedom. Think about it. If Paul and Silas are chained to a wall, can they say, this is the way out? Here, let me show you. No, because they're bound, chained. Can the demoniac say, here is the way to Jesus. Let me show you who Jesus is. Let me show you the grandeur. Let me show you the majesty, the power that is in Christ Jesus. If he is bound up with demons, no, he can't. So I want to ask you, is there something in your life that you need freedom from? Maybe, just doing a stab in the dark here, maybe what we need to be most free from is just thinking, how can my life be better so that I can be more comfortable, so that I can experience something better, and we don't care about what God wants for our lives. Maybe that's something we need to be free from. Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit, or in other words, you who are already experiencing freedom in Christ Jesus through his Spirit, should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. When people fall, it's people who are walking by the Spirit that he's calling upon. Do you feel like you need freedom? I feel like I need freedom. Maybe you're motionless because you're in deep thought and in prayer. I hope so. Maybe all this has gone over your head. Maybe I'm boring as can be. I don't know. But let me just tell you, I need freedom. I want to walk in this freedom. I want to be unleashed. I want to, instead of saying, Lord, anoint me to do this, Lord, free me so that I could do this. Because his anointing is what breaks bondages in our lives. His anointing breaks the yoke of slavery that is upon us. The same anointing that we ask for to be used mightily of him, we must first be broken. And last, I feel like we have to beg God to disrupt our normal routine. Can I tell you, for me personally, it's not this egregious sin like I'm having an affair or that I hate somebody or that I'm stealing or that I have arrogant, I'm very arrogant. It's none of those to the best of my knowledge. It's that I have my own normal routine. And sometimes God doesn't fit into that normal routine. Now, I'll say he does. I pray during that normal routine, but it's like clockwork. That normal routine can include a lot of things that in and of themselves are not evil. They're not wrong. They're not bad. In fact, God can use mightily for his kingdom advancement. Things like social media, things like chilling out with your family and watching Netflix or the computer or you name it. But if it's just our normal routine and we're not allowing God to interrupt that, then maybe we need freedom from that. Maybe we're not available to do and to be what he wants us to do and to be. Pastor Robert, could I ask you to come up to the piano? I appreciate that. I told you it'd be a short message because I don't want to lose the simplicity of it. Again, in case you did not grasp it. It was so easy, so simple that maybe we didn't. We're bound by whatever that might be. Maybe we've come a long way, baby, and we're not as bound as we used to be. But we're bound, and we need freedom. Do you agree with that? Okay. Now, the simplicity of it is, he wants to free us for two main reasons. The first reason is for ourselves. He does not want us bound. Praise the Lord for that. He does not want us in that. The second reason is so that he can tell us to go back to our oikos, to go back to those that we influence, and then show them the freedom that is available in Christ Jesus. It's that easy. It's that easy. Now, with that comes proclamation of the gospel. With that may come the proclamation of a scripture verse. But ultimately, what comes from that is modeling the freedom that we are walking in. That's why we must first be free before we can model it before others. Otherwise, what we're saying is, I'm miserable, I'm locked up, I feel like I've got one foot in and one foot out. How about you join me? Sound good? You meet really great friends, most of which are just like me. They're bound. They've got one foot in, one foot out. Come be a part. We'll have a good old time. We're having an indoor picnic this Sunday after service. Would love for you to come. All the while, we're not walking in freedom, and we're not causing others to obtain freedom in Christ Jesus. For a few moments, we're ending really early. For a few moments, as the music plays, I just want you to get before God. If that's right there in your seats, if you need to turn around, if you need to slap your husband, tell him to stop looking at you, whatever you need to do, just get alone with the Lord. If you need to come forward to the altar, there's nothing special about this stage, but sometimes you just need to get out from where you are. Get out of your normal routine. And if that's coming forward, do that. But just let's take a few moments and ask the Lord, is there anything that you want to free me from? If you're like me, you already know what you need to be free from. You might be fighting it. You might be saying, well, maybe that's just me. I want God to tell me. Maybe God is telling you. He wants you to be free from it. I'll pray, and then I just want you to get alone with the Lord for a couple of minutes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for freedom. We thank you that freedom is available to us. Lord, that you freed the demoniac. Lord, you freed Paul and Silas from a physical prison. Lord, you can free us from anything, and you desire to free us. Lord, I personally ask that you would free me from my normal routine. Lord, that you would free me from being selfish and self-centered. Lord, that I would obtain this freedom, not so that I would just stay there and feel the same warmth and love that I'm feeling right now, but so that I would go back to my oikos and demonstrate that freedom to them. Thank you. Lord, I ask that you would empower us to walk in this freedom. Lord, to realize this encounter that we have with you this morning is real. Lord, we must do our part. God, we must walk away from sin. We need to walk away from guilt and fear and anger and those kind of things. Lord, help us to continue to walk towards you and walk among people that you've called us to, Lord, our oikos. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys heard the term before? Hurt people hurt people. You heard that? You understand it? That if you hurt, you have a tendency to hurt others. I think likewise, free people free people. That if we're free, if we're experiencing the freedom of Jesus, if we're experiencing the freedom, the moving of His Holy Spirit, then He uses us to free people. Praise the Lord. This is the conclusion of our service, and we want to invite, ask all of you to remain. We are going to have an indoor picnic together. There's going to be plenty of food. If there's not, Brenda will pray over it and multiply it. So, Dana, I'm going to surprise you. Could you pray over the food? Bless it. Thanks, man.
This meal, we pray that everyone just gets a full belly and gets everything that they need out of this time spent together.